Everyone gets uncomfortable when the subject of tithing comes up. There goes the church, shaming me because I don't give 10% of my paycheck to the church. Maybe I'll just stay home on Sunday from now on, so that I don't have to put up with all this shame. Has this conversation, or one similar to it, gone on in your own head sometime in the past? Show of hands. You'll notice I'm included. See, you're not the only one. Most of it, at some time in the past, or maybe right now, haven't given 10% of our earnings into the church collection. In this church, our givings have steadily declined, along with attendance in the pews on Sundays. Yet nationally, statistics say the average Canadian family is doing pretty well. In Ontario, the minimum wage is $14 an hour, and the average person is working about 35 hours a week. Well, that translates into $490 a week, and 10% of that is $49. I think the church would be happy if each person was giving $49 a week. That would be about $3,000 a week in the givings in this church. Would you be happy, Lori? Lori is our treasurer. That would be about $150,000 a year. But that's not our reality. So we need to look at other sources for funds and that we need as a congregation to carry the way we choose. It's that simple, isn't it? If we're not getting it from this hand, then we have to look at another source. So the idea of cash tithing doesn't work today. Maybe it's because it's not a biblical model that we agree with any longer. Maybe there is another biblical principle which is taking hold as God remakes the look of his church in the 21st century in the West. If we take the time to study it in depth, if you study carefully the passages of the Old Testament, the principle of the tithe was a practice of the Israelites, which was eventually ensconced in Mosaic law. Jews who subscribe to the Mosaic law, even up to today, are under obligation to tithe. The tithe is supposed to be 10% of the first fruits, that is, the best fruits of your labor. In the case of an agricultural-based culture, which Israel was when the Mosaic Law was introduced, it most certainly meant 10% of the harvest, or what you were producing from the land. As society evolved, however, today the tithe is more conveniently 10% of your paycheck, because not many of us are farmers any longer. If you are retired, 10% of your pension would be your expected tithe. It was advocated also that if you could, you should also consider giving for care of those who had fallen on hard times. The tithe went to the temple. The additional offering or giving would go directly to a charity of choice. That is also true today. And the Jewish community the world over is known for its philanthropic work in the cities and towns where they live and work. However, in the New Testament, teachings persist that Christians, under the grace of God, are not obligated to tithe like the Jews of the Old Testament. Christians, instead, were encouraged to value their churches and the fellowship found there. And they were taught that it was their responsibility to support the local church's mission and vision so that it could continue to function. In other words, the whole ministry needed to be supported as appropriate, and the attitude of the giver was stressed as paramount, not the adherence to a rigid principle of giving. In his teaching, Christ's stress that he was not trying to replace the law with something new, but rather he was asking people to look beyond it to see what the words meant, not what they said. The New Testament spoke of giving as people are able, not about a law that imposes a 10% levy. Jesus and the apostles introduced a new set of principles: sharing, cheerful giving, and voluntary giving. We can translate those into a more modern concept of giving of time, talent, and treasure. The three T's of giving. This today is the full tithe. Giving under these new concepts takes on an entirely different perspective. The Old Testament tithe is often cast in a negative light because of the way it is often not just. In the parable of the widow who gave a few coins that she had, Jesus made the point that sometimes it's easier for the rich to give far more than 10%, but they don't. Yet the poor person may give as much larger proportion of their income when they give just a little, if the little is all that you have. The important thing is the attitude of the giver. Is the giver giving out of love to God, mercy, and faith, or to self-service? In the early 80s and through the 90s, when I was living in Florida, I became involved with helping at-risk young people. It afforded me the opportunity to teach as well as learn, and prepared me well for the time that I spent in Africa as a volunteer. The youth I was working with often did not have any money at all, and the weekend retreats that we could take them on, where the real growth took place, were an impossibility for them because they could not meet the modest costs to go. Many of them were couch surfing, or in the case of one brother and sister, living under a bridge in Cape Coral. I introduced the concept of the full tithe, and I promised them that if they gave freely of their time and talent in the spirit of love and gratitude and mercy, and had faith that God would provide a means for them to go to retreats. Without going into all the details, in 14 years that I was involved with all these youth, there was never, and I repeat, never a time when if a young person wanted to go on a retreat, that we were not able to fund them. The money was always there. Through that experience, I learned about the reciprocal giving principle of faith in God. This, of course, is God's grace in action. It is spoken about in many places in the New Testament, by Jesus through parables, and by testimony from many of the apostles. I can testify that it is real. The principle works. I've lived it. I can imagine that this principle also applied to the tens of thousands of soldiers and support auxiliaries who we pay tribute to today in our Remembrance Day services. These men and women gave their full tithe. They went into service, not for financial gain, but out of love of family, community, country, and the way of life that we enjoy today. Many, like the early Christian martyrs, paid the ultimate price for their tithe, and we are the recipients of the grace from their sacrifice. We need to pay that grace forward in their memories so that they have not paid the price in vain. We must always remember that giving of any sort must be an expression of love, that giving is an act of faith, showing a trust in God, and that giving should be a balanced response from your time, your talent, and your treasure. Measuring what you have against the current needs of others. This is the full tithe, and when applied, it benefits both the giver and the receiver. Such giving as this is an appropriate way to express our appreciation to God for his indescribable gift of his Son Jesus, as stated so eloquently in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believed in him may not die, but have everlasting life. And we are now at 1 minute before 11. I'm going to break right here, and we will begin the minute of silence. When you consider the full tithe, Jesus' teachings and sacrifices came into full view. The teachings of the apostles make more sense, and we understand that God is the source of everything that man possesses. And as a steward of that, man must give back a portion. The giving is no longer a means to salvation, but rather an act of gratitude for what we have. The act of giving is an act of grace, as stated by Paul in his letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, where I read, "You are so rich in all you have, in faith, speech, and knowledge, in your eagerness to help and in your love for us. And so we want you to be generous also in this service of love." The basis for this grace of giving is the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ. It is this grace that makes givers generous, because God's grace is working on them, in them, and through them. The full tithe should be given with an attitude of the spirit of gratitude, of thanksgiving. God wants selfless giving or sacrifice from his people. Giving to God needs total involvement and commitment. Total involvement and commitment means the full tithe. How you give the full tithe is up to you. Obviously, the church operations need to be covered and met, and this is usually achieved by a weekly offering and other cash gifts and subscriptions. For those who are unable to any longer give of their time and talents, this is usually the appropriate way to give into the work of the church. After this comes giving of your time and talents, and this can take on many forms. You may plan on going on a mission trip or joining the choir, or sit on a committee, join in a prayer chain, count the collection, play an instrument in our band, help out in Sunday school, knit items for donation, make quilts, visit shut-ins and the infirm, spend time with Ronnie at the bridge with the kids there once a month, cook, and the list goes on and on. According to your inclination, You can use your time and your talent. All of this and more can be done in God's name and out of love, according to the great commandment to love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor yourself. This comes from Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40. And by the way, it is now part of our mission statement. We have people doing all of these activities and more. How are you involved? If you are not, to get more out of your faith experience, get involved. Tithing isn't just the currency which comes to church on Sunday. Under the New Testament imperative, the full tithe is much more inclusive. In fact, the sky is the limit in God's name. Attitude is the most important criteria. As outlined in Luke 6:38, give to others, and God will give to you. Indeed, you'll receive a full measure, a generous helping, poured out into your hands, all that you can hold. The measure you use for others is the one that God will use for you. A few weeks ago at a congregational meeting, we agreed as a congregation to spend $150,000 of the proceeds of the sale of the church property on mission projects and in support of some local charity initiatives. That's really stepping out of the box. That's scary stuff. That's a big frog to swallow. Maybe some of you are having second thoughts. Yet, the principle is very clear there for us to see. Do we believe in God's grace? Do we really believe that God will take care of us if we take care of others from our bounty? I have taken that leap of faith many times. I trust Him. I want you to trust Him too. If you do, God will pour out a blessing on this congregation and in your life that will astound you. Number 4 in our new vision statement is trust God and that He'll do supernatural things in our midst as we look to Him in faith and expectation. This is a true statement. But the caveat is that we must take an action in order to demonstrate our faith and our expectation. Employing the principle of the full tithe and exercising it to the fullest extent of our capabilities is the best way I know how to do that. Now, the surprising thing is we have been here before. Go back and read the annual reports of St. Paul's for 2013, 2014, and 2015. You will be amazed at what this congregation accomplished using exactly these elements of the full tithe. We have been doing the work. It is nothing new to this congregation. Maybe we just have to recognize that we have been doing it with this new perspective in mind. Maybe we just have to give ourselves credit for paying the full tithe all along and approach our mission and vision with a new lens. God is right here with us, and He has been all along. Let us adopt a new can-do attitude and expect God's grace. It's here. May the Lord God bless this message and help you believe. by healing your unbelief. God bless you.